From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, the Yankees and the Sox do battle on the field. Not just the players, but team employees, too. But our lead story today comes from Virginia Beach, Virginia, where jury selection is underway in the trial of John Allen Muhammad. He's one of the two men, he's the older one, charged in more than a dozen Washington-area sniper shootings last year. This first trial is about the murder of a man named Dean Myers, shot while he pumped gas at a Virginia station a year ago today. The other man accused as Muhammad's accomplice is 18-year-old Lee Boyd Malvo. He goes on trial next month in Chesapeake, Virginia. His lawyers plan to use the insanity defense, and that plea will affect the case against John Allen Muhammad that's now underway. To help sort out the trials, we turn to Slate's legal analyst, Dahlia Lithwick. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Al.
So Muhammad is eligible for the death penalty if he's found guilty. This is John Allen Muhammad, the guy going on trial today. And what makes what he did a capital offense, especially if, as he is contending, only this younger guy, Malvo, actually pulled the trigger?
Well, to be completely clear about this case, we need to remember that John Ashcroft handpicked Virginia, a death penalty state, and he handpicked the prosecutor. So the feds want to see Muhammad dead. The capital charges are the point of this game. And there are two different capital charges under which Muhammad is being tried. One is a new Virginia anti-terror law that was passed shortly after September 11th. It's never been implemented. And in order to get Muhammad under it, they have to show that he either intended to influence the government or intimidate the civilians. It's not a great fit. One good thing about this law is that Muhammad would be eligible for execution under it, whether or not he pulled the trigger. The second theory is that in Virginia, it's a crime to commit multiple killings within a three-year period. That's a better fit for Muhammad, except you have to be the trigger man in order to be eligible. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Muhammad's contention is he was not the trigger man.
Let me raise the question of this insanity defense that the 18-year-old Lee Boyd Malvo, his lawyers say they're going to use. How is that going to affect today's case against John Allen Muhammad?
Well, the irony of that multiple killings in 3 years law that I was just telling you about is that the prosecutor says that they can prove that even though Muhammad wasn't the trigger man, if he was, quote, the instigator and moving spirit, end quote, behind the shootings, he's still eligible. Well, that happens to be exactly Lee Malvo's defense strategy, which is he was completely brainwashed and completely in the thrall of Muhammad to the extent that he was essentially the gun in Muhammad's hands. And so ironically, in this case, you have the prosecution in the Muhammad case arguing what is precisely the defense strategy in the Malvo case.
The test for a successful insanity defense is that the defendant doesn't know right from wrong. In this case, Mr. Malvo has already confessed to these crimes to authorities at various stages. So can he still mount an insanity defense?
It's a good question. I mean, Malvo simply does not look like someone who didn't know right from wrong. He crowed to the police about shooting at school buses. You know, he crowed about getting $10 million from the government so he would stop. So he does not look like someone who's a very sympathetic candidate for the insanity defense. I think his lawyers are very smart, and they're trying to affect the sentencing phase. They know that in Virginia, juries will determine whether he lives or dies. And they think that by appealing to the jury and saying over and over, hammering home the point that he was in the control of someone else, he was just a 17-year-old, he didn't know what he was doing, that even though as a legal matter they can't acquit him, they may decide to let him live.
Dahlia, let me ask you to turn away from these fascinating murder trials that are underway and coming up and go back to your kind of regular beat of the Supreme Court for a moment, if I can. Three things from the Supreme Court today. First of all, they have turned down the appeal of a case on medical marijuana. The government was appealing a ruling that said that it was okay for doctors in California to talk to patients about medical marijuana use. Then the court has said that it will hear an appeal of the Pledge of Allegiance case and whether or not that case is kind of an unconstitutional blending of church and state. And then it also is going to agree to hear a case testing whether or not the government can regulate pornography on the Internet and who can have access to it. These are three things coming out of the court today. Can you just say what's important in each one of them and how important it is?
Sure. The medical marijuana case is actually a surprise because the court has basically left standing a Ninth Circuit decision that says that doctors have a First Amendment free speech right to talk about illegal drugs with patients. And as we know, the Ninth Circuit said several years ago that the California's medical marijuana law is illegal. So it's amazing that they're going to allow this sort of end run around the law under free speech. The Pledge of Allegiance case is going to be the big case of the term. They really, I think, needed to take the case because as it currently stands, the Pledge of Allegiance is considered unconstitutional in all the Western states. And the court, I think, feels that it has to step in and determine this once and for all. It's just was too big to leave alone, but it will be very political and very controversial. And the internet porn case is one of those ping pong cases that has gone back and forth between Congress and the court, with Congress attempting to regulate internet porn and the courts striking it down, and Congress again rewriting the regulations and court striking it down. The one difference is that last year the court actually found an internet porn case that they could uphold. They liked a library filters case. So actually, ironically, they may be a little bit more sympathetic to attempts to filter porn on the internet than they ever were before.
Okay, thanks, Dahlia. I hope you'll come back in a couple more days and talk to us more about the Pledge of Allegiance case because it just seems fascinating to me.
Thank you for having me.
Dahlia Lithwick covers legal issues for Day to Day, and she writes the jurisprudence column for Slate.com.